Jordan Love has performed well so far this season, especially with one of the youngest pass-catching groups we have ever seen. But what is his future? What are other teams saying about Jordan Love? Mike Sando from The Athletic joins us to talk about all of that on today's show.
You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode, speaking of, brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Go to prizepicks.com/lockedonNFL and use the code LockedOnNFL, all lowercase, for a first deposit match up to $100. Mike Sando from The Athletic joins us today to talk about Jordan Love, his future, the contract that he might get, the upside, this young team build, and a lot more, the parallels with Aaron Rodgers. It's all there for you in terms of injuries for the Packers right now. It doesn't look like Christian Watson is going to be able to go. Luke Musgrave back doing some stuff, but probably not going to be back imminently, at least this week. Although Tom Silverstein from Packers News and Journal Sentinel reported that some internal folks in Green Bay are saying Minnesota is the kind of the goal there. Aaron Jones seemed to make it out no worse for the wear. Dontayvion Wicks seemed to make it out no worse for the wear, though he hasn't been practicing so far this week. Darnell Savage still out. And Jaden Reed dealing with a new injury, but seems to come through these protocols whenever he's in them. So we'll see on that one. And then we don't know about Jair Alexander. Like we don't know. Practicing again, but we don't know. Eric Stokes came out of Sunday's game no worse for the wear, didn't play great, but you hope that that's just rust and he's getting back to where we know he can get. Okay, Mike Sando wrote this great piece for The Athletic with input from executives from around the league and from, you know, the people that are evaluating him week to week. Like that's the opinion that I think we can go around and go, okay, so there's a draft expert that says this, and there's this guy over here who's a blogger for this team, they say this. But what are the people in the league saying about Jordan Love? Mike Sando knows. He's talked to them. He's here to tell us about what they think about Jordan Love, his future, what kind of money he might get, what the best thing for the Packers to do with the contract. All of that is in Mike Sando's piece at The Athletic, but it's also here on Locked On Packers. So let's talk to him. Joining me now from The Athletic, back again, Mike Sando. And Mike, you wrote an awesome piece on Jordan Love and his future, this young Packers team. I've taken to calling them the Brat Pack because they are incredibly young. We'll get to the pass catcher part of this in a second. What was the impetus for putting this together now? Was this just like a conversations starting or you seeking it out? Like I like to get inside the reportage part of it.
Yeah, it's just kind of been monitoring it. You know, he's had some real times where he's looked amazing, you know? And so when he did, I was kind of thinking that like, okay, what are we doing? And then it's just been a sort of a weird enough of a season where the team success hasn't been what you wanted. It's not really Love's fault. Rodgers isn't part of the equation anymore because he's hurt, you know? So it was just kind of like dawning on me that, hey, we're towards the end of the season. Like, what should they do? Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're really happy with him, but they don't have to do anything. He kind of settled for a little bit of a compromise deal. They could just wait. But you want to start building your team too. You probably know he's going to be your guy. So I don't know, just sort of getting towards the end of the season, you start looking to the off season to next year. And I just thought you know, he's interesting.
He certainly is. And not just for Packer fans, I think, but it was funny as you were giving me the background in there. Okay. So he's having a nice season, but the team record's not the best and the old guy's hurt. I'm like, that's exactly what happened with Aaron Rodgers the last time. And you mentioned that in the story that the parallels are kind of eerie here. But there is a difference in circumstance because of cost. And we saw Daniel Jones set the market. And that was one of the things that it seemed like you were really digging into. So there was this great quote from an exec in your piece. He said, I think they're very happy with their path. You can be happy with your path and be aware that, hey, this path might not lead us to where we want to go. Both things can be true. What did you like? Expand on that a little bit for me.
So don't just assume because it's worked out so gloriously in the past that's going to happen again, right? Don't just assume, just like early on, you didn't know if Rodgers was going to be the next Favre. Well, he might have been better than Favre at his best. So you, just because it looks good, don't, or you're hopeful, you have to acknowledge the fact that it's not automatic that Jordan Love's going to be consistently excellent. And it feels almost like, hey, here we go again. Everything's the same. It just falls into place. And I thought one of the other great points in the piece raised by an executive that I talked to was, hey, these decision makers have never missed on a quarterback. They don't even know that that's a possibility.
Yeah,
They're walking on a tightrope and they never even look down. They just keep walking across the rope. They don't realize there's a 10-story drop to imminent doom that everyone else falls off of every 10 minutes. So, you know, I think it feels great right now because, and it feels even better. Let's just be honest. It feels better because Rodgers isn't going to the Super Bowl. If he was having an amazing season, they'd have to deal with that. They don't. So everything feels pretty darn good.
It would feel different, certainly, if they were watching Aaron Rodgers just light up teams every week. Like, I think the comparison points would be a little bit different. This is also, you're kind of the perfect person to have written this story in another way because you are constantly talking to people about your quarterback tiers. Always having conversations with people about quarterbacks. And I would assume the conversations that you're having now sound different than you were having in August and certainly that you were having in October. You referenced that a little bit, that in October, like, you're sort of like, I don't know. And now it seems like there's this feeling like, oh, there's actually a lot here to like.
Well, no doubt the receiver corps come along. And I think, you know, I do a podcast every week with Randy Mueller, who's been a GM before. And he was saying, like, you know, he thought the Packers were going to be a lot better this season. I think we've seen how they could be, but he thought they're going to be better than they were. And we underestimated the youth probably at that position. So maybe by the trade deadline, I think Randy was kind of like, they should make a move for a Hunter Renfrow or something like that. They kind of need something or else the season's going to slip away. And those guys have developed, you know, better. So I think you have to give them some credit for that. It is a really young group around them. You know, one thing I haven't sensed, even though there's an acknowledgement of Love's talent, I don't think anybody feels like they should move on from Jordan Love or anything like that. But I also haven't got the, oh my gosh, this guy's unbelievable. Like, there's some optimism, but it's still guarded. And I still sort of feel like the evals of him coming out are still guiding it.
Interesting.
And I have to remind myself, though, that's kind of how it is in the league. That's why I do the quarterback tiers every year, because if you check in after week three, guys in the league aren't like, oh, wow, Daniel Jones actually is amazing. That's just not how people are, right? Yeah. And they shouldn't be. We should take more into account. But even some of the people that have played Love, you know, they have optimism, but they're not like willing to bet the farm themselves, right? And they're not just saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be the guy. And so one of the conversations I had that didn't make it into it was just kind of, I'd love to sort of go back to 2008. Like, when somebody's going to be amazing, don't you kind of know early? Like, I can't go back to 2008 in my mind. I wasn't covering the Packers. I was covering the Seahawks at that time. But to recapture that feeling of like, I'd love to talk to Ted Thompson, the late Ted Thompson. And there's probably some other guys that we could talk to who were there. Like, when did you really know? Because in retrospect, everybody knew everything, right?
Of course,
But there had to be a time where they were like, oh, this guy is the guy. Right. Like, they paid him.
Yeah, I talked to Andrew Brand about it. They were pretty confident pretty early that he was their guy, like earlier than it seems like they were with Jordan Love.
But how about that he was going to be elite guy, right? Because they were 6-10. So I'd love to know, like, how do those feelings compare? Like, the internally, are they, how excited are they? Or do they have some real concerns that they didn't have with Rodgers, right?
More with Mike Sando coming up here on Locked On Packers. It's Christmas Eve on Sunday for the Packers and the Panthers, which means you might not want to cook. You might just want to sit back, relax. You got family around. You don't want to deal with cooking. You don't want to deal with groceries. You don't want to deal with any of that. So let DoorDash take care of all of it for you. Whenever the game clock stops, that's time to order on DoorDash. Why root for your team on an empty stomach? Order on DoorDash and save on football watch party favorites. Pizza, wings, soda, burgers, or just buns. Or ketchup if you need it. I like French fries from the oven. I'm going to do that. Throw that in there. There's the French fry technology, whatever's going on there. It's getting a lot better. Like, you can put in the air fryer, especially like tater tots, all kinds of French fry and fried potato things, hash browns. You throw those in the air fryer, those things. Onion rings, frozen, immaculate in the air fryer. DoorDash will send them to you. Grocery delivery. Yeah, DoorDash does that too. Get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more on your first order. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKED23. Subject to change and terms do apply. That's code LOCKED23 for 50% off your order up to a $10 value on the DoorDash app when you spend $15 or more. Subject to change and terms do apply. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
I don't know.
Yeah, and what's interesting is in 2008, and I just looked this up, they played the Seahawks. So you could go back and ask Mike Sando in 2008. But of course, like, that was one game 15 years ago.
Actually, I was doing the NFC West then for ESPN. I'd come off the Seahawks beat. So yeah.
So and I actually remember that game because I think that was one of the first games where I was like, okay, like this is really something. And then I think within a week, Ted Thompson gave him the contract. Like, that was how fast this all moved. Like, he, they paid him early.
If I was at that game, I'm Googling
the
right
ticket.
Now.
Find the media.
If I find the media, so they played Seattle. You're right. They played at Seattle, week six. There would be a great chance I was at that game covering the NFC West. I could have stayed home that week and live in the Seattle area. And now, of course, I'll go back and read my stuff. And of course, I'll act like I remembered the whole dang thing.
Yeah, but, of course.
That would be fun.
You don't know then. Like, Steve Palazzolo at Pro Football Focus, I thought, had a great tweet that he was like, I wonder how I would have felt. And this was about Brock Purdy, of course, watching Tom Brady in 2001 as an analyst. Like, because we didn't know. You didn't know in 2001 Tom Brady would go on to be the greatest quarterback ever. We would probably have been pretty dubious of Kurt Warner 3 or 4 weeks in or a year in. Now, once a year in, we weren't. But, like, I think it's just a good idea to remind ourselves that we don't always know right away.
Yeah, so one of the cool things, if you go back and watch, like, the final 5 minutes of Brady's first Super Bowl win, John Madden is doing the call. And I saw this recently somewhere, I think it might have been on Twitter. But Madden was great because Madden actually did go to the practices. He watched the film. He talked to the coaches. Like, you think there's production meetings now? These guys now who are doing the production meetings aren't getting anything. But John Madden was getting everything. Madden could be trusted. He could see it with his eyes in practice. He was completely trusted. He knew everything. Okay. And so John Madden at that time was questioning Bill Belichick's decision to go 2-minute offense to try to force overtime. So Tom Brady got the ball, you know, late in the game, and it must have been a tie game, right? And so they could have just sort of played for overtime. You had the young quarterback, and Madden was going, I don't know here, because Brady's like throwing outside the numbers, you know, they're starting to go. And Madden's like, I disagree with what they're doing with this young quarterback. So, you know, I'm sure he knew the hopes, but at that point he was sort of like tapping the brakes, like kind of, hey, let's not bite off more than we can chew here. And of course, as the game went on, Madden actually said, hey, I was wrong. Good for them. Good for him. He could do it. So that's where they were at.
Well, and that's also what makes Madden, that what made him so special. There's this other stat that just sort of knocked me on my butt when I read it. Green Bay has 98% of their yards, their pass catches yards from receivers and tight ends from first and second year players. It's the highest in the True Media era. So going back to 2002, that's 704 teams.
Yeah.
And the second best is a Kyle Shanahan team from 2018. They were at 76%. So I have said all season, this is historic. It's unprecedented. We've never seen it. There is the numbers that say, we've never seen anything like this.
My youngest son's a Packer fan. So when he's came home from work yesterday and he's off for his school break, but I had that stat for him. I was like, and he knew right away. He knew exactly where the remaining 65 yards came from. You know,
he was like, exactly. Oh, Cy DeGuara.
Yeah. He just exactly what he said. But I was so like, I went, I imported all this stuff and exported it. And I had all these numbers. I was manually checking these. I'm like, all right, can this really be true? Because 700 plus teams, to have the gap between number one and number two be 20 percentage points.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's like impossible. This is unbelievable. You know, Ted Thompson would be proud. Ted would go young like this.
Absolutely. And I had that in my mind because we used to have these discussions when like they'd throw the stat up on the Fox game where they were like, Green Bay has the highest number of starters who were drafted in the league. It's like, yeah, because Ted Thompson never signed anybody. Like, of course, they didn't have anybody else to start but the guys they drafted. I think what's really cool about that stat, Mike, is not only is it all first and second year players, by EPA per play, this is the ninth best offense in the league. By DVOA, they're 11th best. Like, this is a good offense with the youngest passing battery we've ever seen.
Now, some of this is relative because one of the things I noticed in the so Love and Rodgers through 14 games both ranked 10th in EPA per pass play. But guess what? Rodgers' EPA was like double. And that's because the league kind of sucks on offense right now. So we'll see what that means. If they're really half as productive as the Rodgers offense was, but it still ranks 10th, we'll see how that works in the context of the league. If the ceiling on offense rises, do the Packers trend up with that as well? I do think going young with the homegrown guys is potentially a little more necessary too, because not only was Ted Thompson not a big free agency guy, but Green Bay isn't necessarily a free agency destination.
Right.
Do you buy that? Yeah. Do you buy that, all things sort of being equal, are you going to be getting a lot of guys? That's a big sort of a move. If you get drafted there, I think you come to love it in some ways a lot of the times. But as a free agent who's got a house in Miami or something, it may not be for you.
Right. Well, Odell Beckham had the choice, Green Bay or LA, and he picked LA, and it's hard to blame him, right, for that.
Love Green Bay, by the way. I could do it, but
Green Bay's a great place, everybody. Aaron Rodgers once said, not a vacation destination. And so understanding that, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith were pretty honest about it. They said Green Bay paid us the most money. That's why we came to Green Bay. And so that's what they're going to have to do in these situations. It is interesting this week, particularly, Mike, because the Packers are playing Carolina and they went out and they got Adam Thielen for Bryce Young. And it hasn't worked out because they're ironically, the guys they drafted, like Terrace Marshall and Tommy Tremble, are just non-entities. They're not Terrace Marshall. Bingo. can't even be active on game day. And so I do wonder if this is something you think other teams could potentially replicate given the success or the relative success Green Bay is having. Like, I wondered why the Texans went out and signed Robert Woods. Like, was that really necessary? Nico Collins and Tank Dell, like, they're really good.
But here's the deal. Depending on what your goals are in the season, if they had gotten a veteran, maybe that stabilizes them for the first month of the season. They're not
maybe they win some of those games.
You put two of those into the win column, and now you're coasting in the playoffs and getting ready and resting a couple guys in week 18, and now you're going to hit it with these young guys, and you're good to go instead of like holding on for your playoff lives and may not make it.
Yeah. All right, more from Mike Sando from The Athletic here on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, where you can just put
together a group of players, Daily Fantasy Sports, right? You pick more or less than their stat projections, and you just watch the winnings roll in from there. If you cash it, you can win up to 25 times your money. That's right. You put $10 in, you can win 25 times. Plus, you can now find community plays under the promo tabs of the app to view entries of some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Take Jordan Love. You can take him on passing yards, for example. And you can take Bryce Young passing yards. You say below. Less. Jordan Love. More. You got a lineup. You put the right group of players together, you can win up to 25 times your money. Go to prizepicks.com/LockedOnNFL and use code LockedOnNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/LockedOnNFL with the code LockedOnNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. Yes, they will just give you money for putting money in. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy. And Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Go to Locked On Sports today for your 24/7 coverage of the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
Although I think there's definitely two sides of it. I just wonder if other teams, like especially Houston, for example, like that was a really bad team. You're getting your young quarterback or rookie quarterback. Do you need the veteran, or are you holding other guys back? The Packers decided, Big Bob Tonyan, you're out. Mercedes Lewis, you're out. Like Mercedes Lewis could help this team. There's no question about it. They wanted to play Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave and these other guys.
Oh, so, I totally agree.
And they've looked really good. It's been paid off for them.
Yeah, I would much. I felt you just can't have guys who are, you know, 40 years old or 38 years old just to have them. I was talking just more about just more of a veteran who can come in and be in the right spot at the right time. But at the same time, you know, Jordan Love was kind of all over the place too, right? I mean, he had a hand in that early on with a little bit up and down. So, you know, I think you just hope by the end of the season that this is trending, because like we said, Rodgers was 6-10 in his first year and it wasn't probably a panic situation. You just want to feel like, hey, this is only going to get better.
I think if the Packers went 6-11, we would panic a little bit in Green Bay, because that means you lose to Carolina. That means you lose to Nick Mullins and Justin Fields. That would be pretty bad. But
well, at this point, yes, that would be bad now.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So given the people that you've talked to and the current landscape in the league, what do you think is the thing that makes the most sense for Green Bay to do with this contract situation? Just play it out. Let's see and go into next year, or what do you think is the smart way to handle it?
I would go into next year and be thinking, you know, we'll see where their buy is, but I'd be thinking sort of like the Rodgers type of thing, but maybe next year. You know, just let's see him go through the offseason. We don't have to rush into this. There's no reason to get in a situation that we regret. And then if you feel great about it a month into the season, maybe it's the time to do it and you set the table and move on from there. If not, if he wants to, you know, go for even more than that, okay, you can live with that. You have the tag if you want it and you could use it. But I don't like making an unnecessary commitment. I mean, the idea that you're going to potentially save $10 million a year or something at a quarterback isn't overly huge to me, versus going in a little bit too early. And now we don't have the flexibility that we had before. So their internal evaluation is going to be, you know, tell them everything on that.
Well, and if they're going to pay him, you're not really going to save that much money, right? Like if you're going to commit to the guy, you're going to give him something around the Daniel Jones deal. And so like, even if he's great the first month, you're probably going to give him what, 2 or 3 more million a year. Like it's the difference. Yeah. We're talking about marginal differences here.
I'm also curious, like what is his mindset with the contract that he took, you know, right now? Is he, hey, he did the team a little bit of a favor and now we're going to get it back, you know, that was kind of the agreement. Or is it, hey, you know what? I sort of am just happy here and I took a little bit less and I don't have to be the top guy and let's just do something that makes sense for the team and me going forward. I don't know what his mindset is.
Well, and there were some questions about him being able to hit some of the targets that he set in the incentives, and it's not outside the realm of possibility. Some of those incentives, he might hit them. He might end up being an NFC Pro Bowler, depending on how these last 3 weeks go. I mean, it's not a crazy thing to think, which it did seem crazy before the season. Like, he's not making the Pro Bowl. Come on, he's not going to lead the league in touchdowns. Like, he could do both of those things.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is going to be fun to watch, and I'm sure you'll be writing much more about it. I'm excited to see where Jordan Love lands in the tiers when they come out next August. I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to keep an eye on, and hopefully we can talk about it when that stuff happens. Mike, always appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right, thanks to Mike Sando for joining the show today. Great to talk to him yet again. An awesome article. So much good insight in there. The stats. The young player stuff, just mind-blowing. It is truly, truly mind-blowing. But that's the life that the Packers chose this year, and it is working out for them. But I thought, Mike's pushback was also reasonable. So that's why we have people like that on, because they challenge the way that we're thinking about all of this. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live on our Locked On Packers YouTube feed, you can go do that, subscribe to us there, and you can stay Locked On Packers.